This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. She's safe. Carly Russell, the 25-year-old woman who went missing after calling 911 when she saw a child near a busy road in Alabama, has been found. More from WIAT-TV's Jen Cardone.
While details on her return are limited, police tell us that they received a call around 10:45 Saturday saying she showed up to her house in Hoover. Russell was taken to UAB Hospital to get checked out. Now, you may remember that she was reported missing late Thursday night after police say she stopped on Interstate 459 to help a toddler beside the road.
Police in Georgia are looking for Andre Longmore, the man they say shot and killed four adults in a quiet subdivision in the small town of Hampton yesterday. Roy Hendricks lived near the crime scene.
People behind me, somebody here got shot. I'm very concerned and very I'm upset.
Hampton is about half an hour south of Atlanta. A murder suspect who used bedsheets to escape from custody in northwestern Pennsylvania earlier this month has been captured, says CBS's Tom Foti.
Pennsylvania law enforcement had been searching for Michael Burham for more than a week, charged in multiple crimes suspected in a killing. He escaped from a county jail and had apparently been on the run in rugged area woods.
As the National Weather Service urges people in areas where heat warnings are up to stay indoors in the AC, that is simply not possible for everyone, says KPIX-TV reporter Devin Feely in San Jose, California.
With many parts of the Bay Area flirting with triple-digit temperatures this weekend, there are few jobs exposed to more raw heat than firefighters. From the furnace blast of the fire itself to the more than 50 pounds of protective gear that each firefighter typically wears.
That gear is meant to protect us from the heat, so it doesn't allow our bodies to breathe as well as, say, a t-shirt would.
A flash flood swamped a road in southeastern Pennsylvania late yesterday afternoon, claiming at least three lives. Four others, including a nine-month-old, are missing this morning. The area got more than 6 inches of rain in 45 minutes. At least 33 people have died in South Korea after heavy rains caused flash floods and landslides and destroyed homes. The BBC's Yuna Koo is in Seoul.
Almost one-third amount of annual precipitation is reported to have been realized during this 3 days period.
The Biden administration isn't backing away from its support for Ukraine to join NATO, says National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
We said at NATO, very simply, Ukraine's future is in NATO. We meant it. That's not up for negotiation. That's something that now all 31 allies have committed to.
Sullivan spoke this morning on CBS's Face the Nation. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Adopt US kids.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There's a new website connecting Wisconsin family farms to local food pantries. As Mike Moan reports, both sides call it a win-win.
This month, a new directory went live where local producers can create a profile of their operation, including the types of food they grow. The online tool allows hunger relief organizations and meal programs to search for farmers who are given grants through a larger program to produce a certain amount of food to be donated. Forrest Humphrey is with the Wisconsin Farmers Union, one of the partners under the initiative. He says making these connections can open a lot of doors.
We're working with a lot of small farmers, folks who may just sell at the farmers market, who haven't had a lot of opportunity to expand to larger markets or to get their products out to more people. And I think this is a really great way for them to do that.
In turn, local food shelves can stock up on healthier options as they report high levels of demand, especially after federal pandemic food aid expired earlier this year. The broader initiative is called the Wisconsin Local Food Purchase Assistance Program. The State Agriculture Department and a handful of other organizations also are involved in carrying out elements of the effort. And Humphrey says bolstering the production and delivery of locally grown food and getting it to those in need can help shield communities from economic trends beyond their control.
Connecting farmers with food banks, that's been a really good way to kind of avoid some of those larger supply chain disruptions that we saw during the pandemic.
He says having a more resilient local food system will put communities in a better position to withstand future market disruptions. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that...
Here we stand.
What's welcome to Raised in Wisco. Joel Klinefish is over there jamming. I hope everybody is listening.
Oh my gosh, Danielle, you did the intro.
Oh my Lanza. Okay. What? First of all, hello. Welcome to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman, alongside Joel Klinefish, our wonderful host. Who was going like this? Does everybody know sign language? The I love you sign language?
Okay, but it's I
but
love you, but actually
that.
In the 80s it was...
It's this. It's just two fingers. It's the horn.
I'm not trying to do I love you. I'm doing Motley Crue. That's
but you
the
were going
crew
like
sign
this?
From the 80s.
This is not... This,
Danielle.
That is...
Oh, it's the... Everybody knows
it
that's
already.
The Motley Crue sign.
How
okay?
is it the Motley Crue sign?
I don't know. It's like devil horns plus a thumb. Like, yeah.
You're just saying
it's
I love
so
you,
rocker.
Motley Crue.
I don't even want to talk. It's like fully rocked out Motley Crue.
I love
what's up,
rock
everybody?
And roll.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Klinefish, alongside what's your name?
We are fighting.
Who are
already.
You? Fighting.
Fighting. I learned
alongside
I need a...
Danielle Fairman. Danielle
hey.
Fairman. Who clearly has never seen the Motley Crue sign.
It's not a Motley
Man,
Crue sign.
It is right now in the state of Wisconsin. It is what time is it? What time is it? You know what time it is. It's time to plant those food plots.
Or to get ready for the Aurora Borealis tonight.
Oh my gosh. I knew you. It's not. Can you say it? Can you? Well, how about
the
you?
The Aurora Borealis.
That's right. Tonight is like one of those literally once in a lifetime kind of events this far south of the North Pole. Now, I got to. What's fascinating to me, I've been on TikTok lately and it's absolutely crazy because I've seen all this flat earth stuff. Have you seen any of this?
I have not.
Anastasia, have you seen any of this flat earth business?
You're on the wrong
side. I feel
side.
Like your algorithm
well,
is different.
My
well,
algorithm's messed up because I'm like an alligator hunter and I'm eating wild game. So I get like hunting stuff. And lately, and it's funny because I get a kick out of conspiracy theories. I think they're funny. I think they're hilarious. Hilarious. But the whole like flat earth thing is going on. So now they're all fighting about the Aurora Borealis. So if you live in Wisconsin, it's very rare that you actually get to see the Aurora Borealis. Mm-hmm. Also known, when we were growing up, they were called Northern Lights. The Northern Lights
yes.
is what we called them. And it's the sun bouncing off of the polar ice caps. And then we see the reflection of that. Anastasia, does that sound fairly accurate
that
to you?
That sounds about right. Sure.
Yeah. I sound kind of intelligent when I say that.
That's not what I said.
Oh, what? Really? Danielle's coming at me. Our guests are coming at me. So it's essentially, you know, what you're seeing is the effect of the sun bouncing off polar ice caps. And you can't usually see it here. I've seen it a lot in Canada. But tonight, July 13th, in the state of Wisconsin, we're supposed to be able to see the Aurora Borealis as low as Wisconsin, even into Illinois and Ohio and some of our neighboring states. So get out there. Check it out tonight. I read between the hours of 10 and like 2 in the morning-ish will mm-hmm. be the best time to see it. But don't forget to do that because like the game in Wisconsin, the waters and woods, the conservation, the fantastic places to go in Wisconsin to forage, to harvest, the Aurora Borealis is going to be a spectacular sight. And it's beautiful weather. It's supposed to be in the low 70s, upper 60s tonight. So put on a little bug spray. And if you're not, if you're like anti-chemical and you don't want to put on bug spray,
vanilla.
Start vanilla.
Vanilla oil, essential oil. Yep.
What?
Yeah, vanilla essential oil. Why
would
lemongrass.
Why wouldn't that attract mosquitoes? That
no, sounds it, like it would doesn't, attract... it doesn't. It just keeps them off and you smell good about it.
You smell good about it. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess try vanilla oil.
I'm or lemongrass or
deep
lemon
woods
balm.
Off or DEET. Do you know what DEET? Do you know what DEET is short for?
No.
DEET methyltoolamide.
Well, that's fun.
Do I sound that's any nice. Smarter yet, Anastasia? She's just shaking her
I
head.
I also
at me.
Have two things I want to share.
Anastasia's kind of like give. I don't.
What? She's
just shook her head
eye.
Like, nope, you're not looking any smarter. No. Did you say the snake Keith. Eye or the stink eye?
Stink eye.
The stinky is kind of giving me the stink eye. The... Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, I got two things of information to bring up. Okay?
Bring them up, sister.
So, for Civic Media, they are doing a blood drive, right?
Yes.
Hashtag
this is
Civic
actually very
pints.
Exciting.
Pints, as in ice cream pint, P-I-N-T-S.
But as really as in pints of blood.
And also pints of blood.
Yeah.
But, okay. You know, I feel like if you say pints of blood, like, people get all the heebie-jeebies. But yeah, if you but say ice cream, it's a lot better.
That's true, but we're not talking about an ice cream drive.
Oh, we could. Maybe you get ice cream afterwards.
We're talking about a blood drive.
Okay, hashtag Civic Pints. It's a blood donation challenge. And anywhere in the state of Wisconsin, from July 10th to July 31st, take a selfie of yourself giving blood. At one of these locations and go to civicmedia.us and submit your entry. These entries are for one pair of Brewer tickets, a pair of a Wisconsin State Fair.
And there's lots of pairs of State Fair tickets. There's lots
50
of these
pairs
prizes.
Of Brewer tickets, 50 pairs of State Fair tickets, as well as 100 Civic Media swag bags given away.
What's in the swag? Do we know what's in the
we
swag
do not
bags?
Know what's in the swag.
All right.
It's a mystery.
I think maybe bars of gold, jargon game calls.
Ooh.
No, I'm just kidding. Probably not. I have
beef.
No idea, but I bet there's some good stuff because one of the cool things about working for a Civic Media station is that Civic Media is now across the state of Wisconsin in 13 markets, all the way from the top of the state down to the bottom of the state, all the way east, all the way west. Civic Media has got Wisconsin covered for your news, your information, your shows that are going to talk about things like the great Wisconsin outdoors, like Raised in Wisco. We got Charlie Behrens. We got Gilbert Brown, the Gravedigger. So anything that you want, you tune into Civic Media, you're gonna have an interesting conversation going on about that. Make sure to sign up for the blood drive. Go get your blood taken. Take a selfie of that. And was it hashtag Civic Pints?
Yep, Civic Pints.
Hashtag Civic Pints. And you will be registered to win any of the great prizes that we have. But obviously, don't do it for the prizes. Do it because it's the right thing to do. And folks out there in hospitals and trauma centers across the great state of Wisconsin need your blood especially need the blood of those specific difficult types to find. You got your O blood, which covers all the blood, but your A negatives, B positives, and I'm not exactly sure exactly how they all work, but make sure you get out there and do that because not only is it a good thing to do, it's very community conscious, and that Ooh. If we are not community conscious on Raised in Wisco, I don't know what we are. Danielle, have you begun planning food plots yet?
I have not been planning food plots. I have been kayaking with my new kayak, doing a silent sport.
You know
sport.
How I feel about kayaking.
I do not. Well, I have one more piece of information, Joel. I said two.
Oh,
I only
go ahead.
About
What's
one.
Your second piece of information?
This is actually kind of exciting.
Let's hear it.
So today, this episode of Raised in Wisco is number...
I couldn't tell you.
45.
Number 45.
Yeah, I was going to wait to the 50th on August 17th, but...
This is our 45th episode
our 45th
of Raised in Wisco,
episode.
And it has been an awesome time so far, and I feel like it's only getting better, and I know the listenership is growing because we start with our seven loyal listeners out in Oconomowoc, the Kennedy clan, who, by the way, I'm so excited. Aiden's birthday is coming up. And Aiden, the brand new hunter that we took hunting for turkeys, and we took Mario. And Mario actually has a connection to tonight's show. Mm. I'm really jacked about our guests.
Me too.
Starting with
Me
the
too.
Second section of the show, we're going to have a guy with one of the most fascinating names I've ever heard. And he's been a friend of mine now for almost 20 years. His name is John Then. And John Then is a man obsessed when it comes to deer hunting, but not just whitetail hunting in Wisconsin, mule deer hunting in Wyoming. He's got his own beef and cattle company that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about organic eating and healthy eating and what proteins do for you and for your body. We're going to talk about John Then's wife's family, who has been huge in Safari Club International for decades and traveled the world. John's got his son Colin here, who helped me introduce me to a young man, Mario. I think we've talked about it on the show before.
Yep.
An adopted young man, took him out, got him his first turkey ever, and that was a fascinating hunt because he literally missed a 23-pound tom 20 yards in front of him. But there were there were some dumb Jakes around who hung out, and he ended up getting a Jake in the bag by the end of the day, and it was awesome. And it was one of the most viral videos that we did on the Jargon Game Calls and the Provider Life Instagrams.
Oh, wow. I
literally
I did not know that.
Sliced a fresh piece of the breast out. I said, now as a new hunter, you got to take a bite of it. And Mario was like ready to take a bite of it. Like right out of
just
like,
raw, just right there,
like right sushi grade, man.
Oh.
Sushi grade in John Then's driveway. And then Then is a tough last name because you have to say the Then's, Then is like what happens in a story after you say the first part. You say this happened then, and that's like literally his last name. So it's kind of confusing to deal with, but you know what, he's a kind of a confusing guy sometimes, so it fits perfectly. And I know you know him, and you know you've had some of your excellent hunting experiences with him too.
Anastasia, and not only how much time do we have before the break? One of their
just 2.5 minutes. So,
2.5 minutes.
So John Then and I met ages ago, a couple decades ago, and this guy is so obsessed with whitetail hunting, like so into whitetail hunting that he's patterning deer, he's planting food plots. He calls me one day after he's got. I'm just going to go to break on this story.
Because oh, I'm so ready.
He calls me and he's like, I can hear in his voice, like, you know that like tickle you get in the back of your throat right before you're going to throw up?
Oh, sure.
You know that like, you know, like that.
No, what is it?
You know, and he calls me and he's like, Joel. And he's all jacked up. He's like, you're not gonna, I just had this like 1,472.7 million inch deer in front of me, which I'm not joking. He probably did because he's got a room full of like 150 to 210 inch deer. And the guy kills giant, massive whitetail on the rag. And he's telling me about this. And I'm like, why do you sound so? He's like, I think I'm going to throw up. He was that. Like he was that jacked up about it, and he decided to not shoot at this deer. So he was that excited about the deer and that into the deer hunt. And this is a deer he didn't even draw on.
Oh, just saw it walking down.
Just saw it walking down the pathway, and I guess it was probably presented a shot, and he was so nervous he almost threw up over it. And I'm like, and I'm trying to talk. I'm like, John, listen, John, it's a white-tailed deer. You grow them for the purposes of harvesting them. You eat the meat. You put the wall on the wall. You utilize everything. This is what it's about. Draw the bow back and stick it, you know?
It's time.
So when we come back, we're going to talk live with John Then. Colin, his son, is here. His lovely wife, Heidi, is here, who I have a history with her family, and we'll tell you about that as it comes up. No, there was no dating history, Danielle. I saw that look in your face. Don't worry about that.
Okay, I will not
But
worry.
We have a history together, too. So we're going to have the Then family joining us as soon as we come back from the break. Hang out. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We'll be right back.
The devil. Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back, Wisconsin, the race in Wisconsin. Your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. What, was I pretty close to right? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah,
Danielle's looking up the Aurora Borealis right now.
I just used Das Google to look up the northern lights in Wisconsin. It is from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., but with the storms rolling in, most likely will not be able to see anything.
Oh.
But you can look at it at Kohler State Park. It's about an hour north of Milwaukee.
You should be able to see it
all the way down
backyard
to the Kettle Moraine North section.
Nice. Well, the Kettle Moraine North
things that popped up.
Hey, that's pretty cool. So get out there and see the Northern Lights. When we went into break, we were talking about my buddy John Then. We've been friends for a couple decades. And you know John Then.
I do know John Then. Then. See? Then. Look, now you got me messing it.
John Then.
Messing it up.
Then. Now.
I know.
Now and then.
Now and then.
Wow. You should have named your kid Now. Now Then would be their name. That would be awesome. Like, I had a daughter named Ella, and I thought maybe we'll name the second daughter Sam. Then it would be Sam and Ella.
Oh, no.
No? You don't like that? John Then's in the studio.
Except you just named a dog Fancy.
That is true. I have a dog named Fancy. She's so fancy. Like that song from the, I don't know,
I just
early
think of
2000s.
Reba right away.
Reba McEntire?
Fancy? Yeah.
Does
Fancy
Reba
was her name?
Oh, I don't think I know that song by Reba McEntire.
No? Oh, wait. It's not a song. It's a part of a song.
Okay.
Is it?
I don't know.
Any Reba fans in here?
Reba McEntire. I don't know that song, but John Then. So, yeah. I don't. John Then, welcome to Raising Wisco, John Then. What's up?
Hello.
Hey, Joel.
What's going on?
Just hanging in Wisconsin for the night.
For the night, that's true because you head out to Wyoming quite a bit. Are you leaving for Wyoming tomorrow?
We are heading out on Sunday after the cookout.
Okay, what cookout?
We're having a cookout.
Thanks for the invite. What time should we show up?
Everybody was invited, actually. If you follow us on social media, it is shared on the Two Sleep
You're talking about at
Fleet Farm?
Yeah, that's today or that's tomorrow?
That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday.
So check out Two Sleep Beef and Cattle Company at Fleet Farm in
Menominee Falls.
Appleton Avenue. What time?
Hamburgers.
What time?
10 a.m. till 6 p.m.
All right, we're going to talk more about Two Sleep. We're going to get to Two Sleep. Yeah. We're going to get to eating organic and what it means for a hunter's body. How did we meet, John? Do you remember?
Buck rub.
Buck rub.
That's right. I'm going to tell.
Like two strangers just went for the same.
That's
boat,
how Danielle
the same
and I
arrow.
Met. True.
Just caressed hands ever so gently.
Danielle.
What?
It wasn't a Hallmark movie. What are you what are you even talking about?
I'm seeing sparks fly. I'm just, you know, trying to let the listeners see what I'm
going to let seeing. You go ahead and get yourself in trouble on the FCC airwaves, but I'm going to skip. So we met at Buck. It seems like, doesn't it kind of seem like Buck Rub and Kaz are like kind of the epicenter of everything that's awesome?
It is.
That's how I met you, Danielle.
That's exactly how you met me.
I was looking for a host for Game Outdoors at the time, which became Kill It, Clean It, Cook It. And Danielle was working at Buck Rub and knew Kaz. And he's like, you should
talk. I was not working there.
Well, you knew you were going there to shoot or something.
I was there showing my friend Abigail how to, she wanted to get fitted for a bow. So Kaz is like, here, have a beer, have fun. And I said, okay. And then Kaz and I started talking, and that's when I signed up for summer leagues and he gave you my phone number.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, you should talk to Danielle. She's like the real deal. She hunts and she shoots bows. And so we met at Buck Rub.
Yeah, we met John. At Buck Rub. We were shooting our bows and...
Was I shooting better than you, or were you shooting better than me?
Well, I was picking up. I was helping you pick up all your arrows as they were laying all over the place.
Oh.
Hey, listen, just because I draw 78 pounds and my arrows go through the animals I'm shooting at, through the heart, and land behind the targets, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that yours hit
Such
and bounced off.
Such strength you have.
I apologize.
Probably what was happening.
And how did, so then what happened? Were you like, yeah, we should talk about hunting? Or
yeah, I think we just started talking about hunting. I got your number, you got my number, and then eventually talked a little bit. I think I invited you out once or twice.
Nice.
So John was lines. Like my first experience. So, you know,
we both
I
started bow hunting at the same time, I think.
Yeah. I wasn't into it that much. I only started hunting, period, when I was 38 years old, and I'm 52 right now, so that's only 14 years ago that I started hunting, which is about when we met.
That's about when I really started heavily getting into, maybe it was my second bow, but I hadn't been bow hunting forever. I became obsessed with bow hunting maybe like 15 years ago.
Yeah, so John then is one of those guys. He's a lot like me, Danielle, where like we become obsessed with something. And for me, it's hunting. And for John, it's whitetail deer hunting. And so nice. He was the first guy who ever started talking to me about QDM, quality deer management.
Okay.
And this guy was like talking to me about food plots and when to put in food plots and travel zones for deer and managing deer in deer areas and not shooting them until they are a certain size and inches and like real actual whitetail trophy hunting. How did you get
like actual knowledge? So,
yeah. And for me at that point, and a large, you know, to a large extent, this point in my life, I like to kill animals because I want to eat them.
Yep, exactly.
And that kind of goes opposite of the culture and mentality of trophy hunting. However, I will say, I think because I'm eating the animal anyway, I still love trophy hunting. So how did you get so much into the QDM aspect of it?
I think what happened was because we had the property for it.
What do you mean by that? Explain that.
We had the correct type of QDM property to hold giant whitetails. And
so tell me what that means.
Yeah, what would
make
that?
What makes a property perfect for holding big whitetails?
Food, water, shelter, and how you hunt it. That's the only thing that matters. Food, water, shelter, and how you hunt it.
Okay, so when we come back from the break, we're going to start out with you explaining how food, water, shelter, and how you hunt in your mind has worked for you that you've been able to put massive whitetails on the wall consistently. And we're going to talk about the emotional roller coaster that happens. Okay. Yeah. And then we're going to talk about your son, Colin, who's gotten some of his own giant animals. We're going to talk about Wyoming. We're going to talk about Two Sleep Beef and Cattle Company. In fact, Danielle is like the spokesman for it. So it's all coming together in one giant full circle. And John,
I also
and
have
I,
a summer grill box to open too.
Nice.
Special one.
We got to get to break. John and I are going to Spain too. We'll probably touch on that.
Oh.
Habla español, John. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief, 25-year-old Carly Russell, missing since she made a 911 call about a child on the side of an interstate highway in Alabama Thursday, is back home. Her father, Carlos Russell.
Bubbly personality, loving heart, giving, just joyful in nature.
As much of America swelters, even the setting of the sun doesn't seem to bring relief, says KCBS-TV reporter Tom Waite in Santa Monica, California.
Experts say in addition to the extreme heat, what makes all of this so dangerous is how long these heat waves are lasting and how long it's staying hot, well into the night, into the 90s in some desert areas.
The pressure is unrelenting on Russia to end its invasion of Ukraine, says National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on CBS's Face the Nation.
The West is working to continue to tighten the squeeze of our sanctions, hollowing out Russia's defense industrial base, weakening its capacity to produce advanced technology.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa! That was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Aldous Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Aldous Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
First concerts I ever saw in my life, and I saw him in concert two or three times, and once where Tommy Lee had his drum set that went over the crowd and flipped upside down, and I watched that movie about them on Netflix. I forget what it was called. Livewire, I think it was called. I don't remember, but it was awesome. Yeah, Anastasia rocking us out in and out of the breaks today. Good stuff. Good music. We went into the break talking to John Then, who is kind of a master of QDM and really has kind of the property to hunt massive deer, puts giant deer on the wall, along with his son Colin, who's joining us in the studio. His wife Heidi is here too today.
She
and
is?
I have to tell you, she is like one of the kindest, most genuine people I have ever met.
I concur. Yeah, I concur.
I'm hanging out with John and I meet Heidi, and all of a sudden I learn that Heidi's sister, Sarah Gilbert, was my producer at Channel 12.
What?
Yeah, no joke. That's how small the world is. So, and I knew her sister, Sarah, like really well, worked together with her for years over at WISN Channel 12, which aired, you know, our show Game Outdoors, Kill It, Clean It, Cook It, with you, Danielle, aired on Channel 12. And I saw, I mean, I knew Sarah for years. She was an excellent producer, excellent at what she did. I'm sure she's doing, John, is she just doing awesome things right now? She's super successful.
She's a professor at Concordia.
Oh, wow.
No, she's a professor at Concordia. No surprise. Sarah Gilbert was a woman on the rise constantly, and she just was a fantastic person. Super. You'll have to tell her I said hi, please.
Tell her hi. She's probably listening.
Hey, Sarah, what's happening? I'm jacked. You're doing so great. It's awesome to have your sister and the Then family in here. See, now I'm just used to saying the Thens.
The Thens.
The Thens. But, John, we were talking about QDM. You said water, sleep, and eat.
Sleep is very important.
No, for the deer,
and
John,
not
for
in the tree stand
food,
at home.
Food,
water, shelter, sleep.
Ooh, we get the water, hand clasp with it.
Okay,
he's tired.
How is that?
Water, shelter, sleep.
Talk to me about when you say those things. How do those things interact with each other? And you said when you hunt them is ultimately important.
The food has to be located within the bedding area. So that's why people need to put food plots close to the bedding area so they don't have to travel off your property to go get food, right? There has to be water.
Okay, stop
to the
on
bed.
That point, because I'm going to ask a tough question. Danielle, does this occur to you? If you have a food plot, if you're hunting a food plot and the food plot is next to the bedding area, how do you get to it without disturbing the bedding area?
Really, really good trails.
Okay.
Quiet trails. So on the other side of the bedding area is a food plot. On the other side of the bedding area is a food plot.
And right? That's so depending on wind.
The deer come out all day long. So the deer, believe it or not, eat all day long. The deer just don't eat at night. They only come out of their bedding areas to eat. So they'll come out and travel to go eat. But they're up in their beds all day long eating. Like people, that's why when you hunt on the edge of beds, you'll see deer up all day long eating. And then so if you don't have those bedding areas, you don't experience that type of behavior for deer because you have to see them when they're traveling.
Okay.
You have to have them traveling off of somebody else's property or being bumped off of somebody else's property or going somewhere else to eat or going somewhere else to sleep.
So, but that what strikes me about that is that a lot of people say, I got to hunt that deer at the first morning light or I have to hunt that deer at the golden hour right before dark.
But we have learned that during 11 o'clock to like 3 o'clock is when it's good prime. Hunting.
I have killed 90% of all my deer at about, like, I don't even go out in the morning. I'll wait for the sun to come up. I'll let the deer bed. And then I will go in about 45 minutes, a half an hour after the sun comes up, and then catch all of the 7:30 to 10 o'clock movement. That's when 80% of all my biggest whitetails have been killed, during that second movement, when they're up and moving.
You brought your son Colin along. Colin, how old are you?
I'm 17.
Okay, so you're 17. How many deer have you killed over 120 inches?
Almost all my deer except for one.
So how,
so
many,
how many deer
how
do
many
you have?
How many is that?
Five mule deer and then one whitetail.
And you killed how big was the whitetail you killed?
About 140.
Wow. So that's a beauty. So
you want to know my biggest one?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I don't know, like 6 inches.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure it's more than six, but Danielle, listen,
I made them into earrings. That's how big they were.
I've been hunting 15 years, 14 plus years. I finally killed a whitetail, finally shot at a buck whitetail, and it was 142 inches. Okay. I'm 52 years old. I was 52 years old at the time I killed my first big whitetail. And I think a lot of people have that story. So Colin, what's it like hunting on a property that is tailored for big whitetail? And do you, because the next story I'm going to tell is the story of my fearfulness when I sit on a stand on your property.
What? Why?
Okay, well, we'll get into it. I'll explain it. Colin, so take me through that.
So the whitetail I killed this year, it was only maybe, I had only hunted 3 or 4 times, just quiet afternoons, and I was sitting on my phone watching TikTok at about half volume in the tree stand.
Half volume.
Goodness sakes. Okay. All right. Stop. Wait a minute. This is Danielle.
What?
What the ever-loving hell is going on here? You're sitting in your tree stand watching TikTok?
Yeah.
Aren't you out in nature enjoy nature?
Life happens in 3 dimensions, not on a 3x7 two-dimensional phone.
And now you know why he's only killed 1 whitetail.
Because John's saying on that property, if you only killed 1, it's because you're sitting on TikTok.
And he's only really started getting into hunting like whitetails fairly recently for Colin.
Yeah, when did you start hunting? Like, in general?
I started mule deer hunting when I was very little. And I prefer mule deer hunting because rifles, long-range shots.
Driving around, walking up and down in the mountains.
Big packs.
It's more of a stalking.
Yeah.
Right, it's more of a stalking attitude, right?
Big packs of deer, and you get to pick out a nice one and drop it.
That's pretty cool. Like, so what is, I'm just curious. You're 17 years old, you said?
Yeah.
I got a 17-year-old daughter. What's your algorithm on TikTok showing you? What are you watching on TikTok?
Honestly, mostly conspiracies.
Yeah, I watch that stuff too. Like the flat earth stuff.
Yeah.
It's so wacky. I mean, I don't believe any of it, but it's crazy. Like, do you watch like how the pyramids were made by ancient aliens and stuff like that too? Because that comes up on my TikTok. I don't watch TikTok very much, but
you don't even want to get me started about the pyramids.
Oh, really? Lordy. Oh,
I think we're gonna have to have Colin back and do an entire show about conspiracy theories. I think we should do conspiracy.
I will bring the popcorn. I will definitely not contribute, but I will listen.
I'll tell you what, some of the conspiracy theories are so funny, and these people absolutely believe. You don't believe them, do you? You don't think the earth is flat, do you?
No.
Why are you hesitating?
You hesitated. You think
you never
that
hesitate.
Do you think there's a firmament and there's a flat earth? A little part of you believes
it. I think there used to be a firmament.
Okay. Well, the Bible says there's a firmament, so.
I think it could have broken with the flood.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy. He's into this, the conspiracy theories on TikTok. So TikTok's going, and this deer all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So what happens?
So I look up from my phone, and last time I looked at the food plot, there had been nothing. So I looked up, and there was a nice filled-out buck just sitting right in the center of the food plot looking at me.
So he had been there a while.
So you were looking at TikTok.
He had been cruising through, and then as soon as I see him, I'm just like, I put my phone down. And
good job. Very proud of you.
Was that tough? Was that hard to put your phone down?
Did you feel like you're putting down a piece of your soul?
Hey.
Velcro,
John goes,
off.
It was glued to his hand. Hey, man, I've got a 17-year-old daughter and a 20-year-old daughter, and I'm telling you, it's tough. Life happens in 3 dimensions, not on a 3x7 two-dimensional screen. But you can learn a lot on those, and they are a tool. So you finally put your phone down, and you had to pull your bow up.
Yeah, and I shot it. Nice shot, and it ran about 50 yards just right into the beds.
Hmm. And tipped over.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, that's awesome that you ended up, you know, good ethical shot
it was
on it.
Maybe my 3rd or 4th hunt of the season, beginning of the season. And I hadn't been going hard at all.
Well, I'll tell you, I've had a couple chances to hunt on John Then's property, on your dad's property. And I have to tell you, he is so serious about it, he scared the crap out of me. So I'm sitting there one early evening, and I'm aware. I'm not sitting on my phone. I'm nervous as heck, like that I'm going to miss something. So I sit perfectly still, and I'm literally sitting so still for
4 hours straight, I'm worried about getting hemorrhoids. I am not moving. I am not moving on that bench seat. But to be fair, John, you have pretty comfortable seats. Those are pretty comfortable tree stands.
Only the best for you.
There's one that was a little wonky, and I'm a little bit hairy with high. And I was up in one. I think it was like 40 feet.
Do you not do heights?
I don't do heights real well.
I don't think you could find that stand. I think you were stumbling around for a while looking for it.
That could be. I don't have a great sense of direction.
I told you
either.
To go north, then you go south, then you
okay, you got I am more of a stand.
The sun rises in the east, sets in the west.
I'm a little more of a landmark person, but then John will be like, "Yeah, you just turn at that one tree."
And you might have been in the wrong stand that night, but whatever.
Whatever.
It all
so
turned out.
I'm sitting there, and this 12-point buck walks out, probably a 140, 150 maybe. Maybe? What do you think, John? You saw it on cameras.
It was, I don't know why you didn't shoot it.
Oh, you son of a gun.
Okay.
Now he sits there telling
me before the show started, they were going back and forth nonstop. And I guess 2 years later, something happened.
Okay,
this is a whole thing. There was tension in this room.
Because John would always say to me, listen, Joel, we don't shoot immature bucks out here. So you got to make sure it's a 4 or 5 year old. Now I'm 7 years into hunting at this point. I don't know the difference between a 4 year old buck, a 5 year old buck.
You'd be like, here, let me count your teeth.
I can tell if they're big or small. And this buck comes out and I'm thinking to myself, it could be a 4 year old. It could be a 3 year old. If I shoot it, John's going to be so mad. And then I'm looking at the buck, literally the buck of my lifetime. And he's standing 15 yards broadside. And I'm holding on to my bow, and I'm afraid to draw on it.
Aww.
And I'm afraid, like, if I shoot it, he's going to be like, oh, that thing would have been a beast next year. So I don't draw, and I'm so proud of myself. And I come back, and I'm like, John, this 12-pointer came out. He's like, yeah, I've been seeing him around. Man, oh, what, you should have shot that one. Why are you laughing right now? You're just absolutely laughing. Because he had me so scared to actually draw on it and shoot. And then the first thing he says, oh, you should have shot that one.
See,
it would have been the biggest buck I ever shot.
If you would have had your phone in your hand, you could have taken a picture and sent it to him.
He knew what it looked like. He saw it on the cameras.
Well, did you warn him about it, that it might be out?
He pulls a picture up. He's like, was this it? I'm like, yeah, that was it. He's like, oh, yeah, you should have shot that one.
Guys, we have people
but
outside.
Now,
hello, look at the dogs.
Heidi is saying, in the future, shoot it and just tell him, hey, man, I'm sorry. I thought it was big enough.
Any buck that you like that you're going to put on the wall is the buck you should shoot.
What about any buck I'm going to eat? Does that count?
You
could put a bag on
the wall. I know your freezer's already full. So.
It's not, because we eat everything we kill. So our freezer, when we get to about July, my freezers are more than half empty because we stock up during the hunting season. I make everything from like cold cuts with the turkey to shredded beef sandwiches with all the different venison and nilgai I've got in there right now. I've got some ibex, emu. I mean, I've got the gamut in my freezer. And we're getting kind of close.
So you know what you need to do once you start running low?
What? Hunt?
Order from Two Sleep.
That's right. We're going to talk about Two Sleep's beef and cattle company because the show goes so fast. We don't even have time to talk about it. John and I are going out to Wyoming. I'm going to have my first experience mule deer hunting, and I hope he doesn't kill me. I'm going to take some of those little things that give you oxygen at high levels. You know what I mean?
Colin's I can see that. He's going to be your oxygen jockey.
Like Darth Vader. That's Dark. Like Garth Brooks like and Darth Vader.
When you go to Everest,
together.
You have a...
Yeah.
What do they call it?
Oxygen
guys?
Buddy. A Sherpa.
Sherpa.
He'll be my Sherpa.
Colin will be your Sherpa.
Colin the Sherpa. He'll be my Kalerpa. It'll be perfect.
Kalerpa.
And we're going to talk about the cattle company you started out there, organic eating. When we come back, Danielle,
Joel?
Take us to the break.
You're at the end of the break.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303.
Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit therifens.com/disclosure.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Home sweet home, Danielle.
You know
bringing it
I'm
home
a dreamer.
By Motley Crue. Home sweet home.
Are we mellow talking
we're
right now?
It home.
Very nice of you listening to Raised in Wisco.
To Raised in Wisco, the mellow tones of Joel Clayfish and Danielle. Guiding us through our venture is Anastasia on the ops board, taking us from segment to segment. But how to harvest animals and put them on the table in Wisconsin.
Okay, you're listening to 540 AM. WAUK, The Shaw 101 FM. Give us a call at 844-9672.
Did you just forget
2789.
2789.
There we go.
That's all right. At least you know the whole number. Give us a holler if you want to talk on the air. We did have a caller about the Aurora Borealis to correct some of my misgivings about how we actually see it, but it is fast light particles.
Oh.
So I updated myself at the break. John then has been talking to us with his son Colin. His wife Heidi is in the studio. They are awesome, very close friends of mine. John and I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I have a mule deer tag for Wyoming. It's
going to
be so great. Bobby, I sell propane parts and propane accessories.
Are you trying to be King of the Hill?
King of the Hill is awesome. So I get a chance. Now, after the draw, John, I didn't realize it's kind of hard to get a tag. Yeah. It's like 1 out of 100 chance, and I drew one.
Oh, nice.
I know.
How do you feel? That puts a lot of pressure on you.
Hey, I'm the guide. He's the Sherpa. We'll get you a.
There we go.
Colin is the Wyoming Sherpa. I have to go ahead. What, Colin?
I hope I'm getting paid.
Oh, there it goes.
Hey, you are. Do you
by
know,
life experiences?
You will be the Sherpa.
Come on.
For a national television show co-host, we call that an internship, right?
There we go.
That sounds like an internship to me.
I think he's talking about getting paid for me.
Oh, from you?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you can do that. It's called an allowance.
Yeah.
The Wyoming Sherpa. So I'm really excited because I drew this tag. I'm going to go out mule deer hunting for the first time in my life. I've hunted a lot of amazing things across this country and in other countries, but I'm excited about mule deer hunting. And you know what else I'm really excited about? So this is so bizarre. I mean, you want to talk about John then. John then is the quintessential picture of the entrepreneurial experience in the United States. He has invented and carried through on the American dream of his life. The guy starts businesses, is serious about hunting, figures out a way to do anything. Okay. And so he buys essentially thousands of acres in Wyoming and starts a cattle ranch.
Is it 40,000?
Free.
What are we at?
Okay, you so it kind of all started out along. It started out where Heidi's family had some of it, and then Heidi and I bought a lot more of it, a lot more of the land.
Okay, in Wyoming.
Yep. So then we bought a big portion of the acres, and then we merged with one of our neighbors. So that's how where our cattle run up and down the mountain.
So
you got you've got cattle
stream.
Out there, and you think to yourself, hey, why don't we start a beef company? Organic eating, organic grazing beef.
Yeah.
So how do these cattle, how do they get there? How do they survive? What are they eating? Where are they living on the side of mountains?
Yeah, they come up.
Because I think this concept to a Wisconsin farm farmer is kind of a foreign concept, right?
So basically, in Wisconsin, they stay at one elevation, right?
Right.
You feed them grass that grows in the winter, and then you feed them hay they eat the grass in the summer, and then you feed them hay in the winter. They stay at one elevation.
Sure.
Well, out in Wyoming, you move them up and down the mountain, right? So you move them up the mountain in the summer. The grass is growing. Then you move them down the mountain. So they eat on their way on down the mountain. And then you have a home base down low that you've been making hay on. And then you graze them.
Not metaphorically making hay, literally making hay.
Making hay down there to put them, to keep them down at a lower elevation because they can't survive up in the mountains over the winter.
Gets 30, too cold
30,
40, and rough.
50 below.
Sure.
So you bring them down to 5,500 feet. And then you keep them down there over the winter. You feed them, or you have just enough, you can feed the whole thing out too, where you don't even put hay up.
Sure.
You just bring them down from the mountains, but you kind of have to arrange. When you lease.
So you're driving cattle out there.
Well, yeah, but you know, that's what all the ranchers do. They move them up and down, or they lease land. If they don't have enough high ground, they lease high ground, they lease low ground, they swap out.
You know, Chad Belding was in town a couple weeks ago, and one of the things we were talking about is the actual need to have, you know, what you put in your body, your physical fitness is an important part of being if you want to be a hunter that experiences a lot of things. And I'm telling you, I'm not good enough at it, Danielle. I'm not good enough at it. I need to be more fit. I need to be more careful with what I put in my body, and I need to be more apt to exercise and do that kind of thing. But one of the biggest things that you can do for your body is eat a clean protein source. And I think, you know, when these cattle or the mule deer or the deer in Wyoming, they are the cleanest possible protein source that you can have, aren't they?
Yeah, they basically, our cattle have never seen Roundup. And all of the water that they drink their whole life comes out of the mountain. So it comes down from 13, 14,000 feet, melts. So there's still snow up there now.
Wow. In the middle of July.
Yeah, and it's raining up there now. The rain clouds, it just squeezes it out, and it keeps coming down, and then it
filters
out,
through the rocks
down.
Of the mountain.
Yeah.
So,
or if you would pop an artesian well in, that would be down 2,000-3,000 feet.
What made you decide, hey, I want to offer this kind of clean, organic eating to the public? I want to have the beef, the cows that graze on these mountains, the mule deer that my family eats, the cows my family. What made you say to yourself, this is something I have to spread and bring to other people?
I mean, okay, so 100% is my wife and my son were really into clean eating.
Okay.
And I could see the results. And then I started eating really, really clean. And I transitioned, like, my body and my mind into clean eating. I started eating just really, very, very, very clean animal fats.
And then you were talking about a high schooler, high school quarterback?
Yeah. Maybe he's listening now, but there's a high school quarterback. His name is Tyler Hatcher. He's starting quarterback for Hamilton High School. He's on our team, our beef team, and he transitioned into animal proteins. He's eating about 80% lean beef animal fats.
Well, one of the things that I like to talk about on the show is, you know, ages ago, as we go through the ages, scientists and nutritionists constantly change what they say is good for us to eat. But the more that science advances and the art of nutrition advances, and it is an art, the more we realize that proteins are extremely good for you and fat is good for you. And I want to talk specifically, while we got a minute left, about the marrow Marrow, bone marrow, is found out to be one of the healthiest things you can possibly eat. It's got stem cells in it. You've got what they're called canoes, which is the bone marrow. People are making marrow broth out of it, bases for gravy, bases for fantastic tasting food. And I've eaten it. Danielle, I know you've eaten it.
Obsessed.
It's amazing.
And then don't forget to come and taste their burgers at Fleet Farm.
Go check them out at Fleet Farm on
Appleton
Avenue.
And Q in Menominee Falls. They're going to be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And the show flew again. Family, thank you for coming, Danielle.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Joel.
Zoe, your laugh is contagious. Anastasia, thank you. We'll be back next week on Raised in Wisco.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.